Mark chapter 10 in your Bible this morning. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years. I mean, I'm only 29. So, you know, I started here when I was four, pastoring, and that's young to be married and pastoring a church, but I'm 29. I'm 48 today. 48 today. The Lord's been good to me, and I appreciate how the Lord's blessed through the years and taking care of me personally and me and my family. And I love this place. I love your preacher and his wife. The Lord has allowed us to have a friendship that has lasted throughout these years, and I thank God for that. If you can go through life, and when you get older, or get to the end of life, and you look around and you've got a handful of friends, you've probably done something. You've really accomplished. A lot of people say they're your friend, and you're going to find out down the road they're really not. I'm talking about somebody that'll be there when you need them to be there, whether you've got anything or not, anything to offer or not. That's the kind of friendship I'm talking about, and I appreciate your preaching. They were just with us. I mentioned he's talking about 25 years and us being here, and I thank the Lord. Brother Jones said this morning, there have been so many different services. It's hard to say what the best service has ever been or will be this week because times are different. Your situation is different, your moment. And so God does that. He moves in those things and in those moments of our life. But I thank God for the privilege that He's given us to be part of it. I think you know, if you've been here any length of time at all, we love this place dearly, and each one of you pray for you. But back in 2008, the Lord gave us the privilege of being members here for about 6 months before we went to Virginia when we resigned our church there in Dalton, and we were here 6 months. Now, if anything were to ever happen again, and God forbid that it does, I want to spend the rest of my life at Faith Baptist Church. But if anything were to happen, I don't think I could ever join here again. I've learned. Brother Gravely's been like my best friend. I mean, we're best friends, been that way for years and years. And sometimes, I don't have a problem with submitting. I don't. I could come in here and just do, if he said jump, I could say how high. But sometimes, friendship, he just needs to be body slammed. He needs an. Now you can't say that.
No, they can't.
You cannot. Don't even think.
Don't even think that.
But sometimes he needs an elbow from the top rope, and somebody's got to help keep him in line. It's a little much for Miss Nolita from time to time, and so that's where God brings me into His life. And I love him. And they were just at our place this past week. We had a great meeting. And now if you listen to him, he'll whine around, talk, man, I'm telling you, but I gave him Wednesday night off, still gave him a great offering. And we had tornado-like winds come through, knocked the power out, fire on two mountains. It was crazy. So he's had it easy this past week, and we fed him good, and man, took care of him, made sure they had everything they needed. So he's been living in the lap of luxury. And don't let him kid you, all right? Don't let him, because I know how he can be. I'm just teasing. You can't be on him like that, all right? I don't. Now, if you get on him, I'm going to get mad at you. But that's why I could never join here again, even though it's a great church, because I need to be able to give him a real hard time. And if he's my pastor, I really can't do that, all right? I love you. Mark chapter number 10. Thank you, Brother Jones, for the good preaching this morning. And I appreciate all the good singing, the choir. Man, I tell you, it's full. And great singing, and I thank God for it. I know it's a familiar passage, but I want to just give you a thought this morning, and I hope it'll be a help to you. The Bible said in verse number 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible. Now, this is not the sermon, but I just want you to know, when it comes to salvation, you have nothing to do with it. And if you had anything to do with you being saved, I promise you this morning, it's not Bible salvation. It is not grace. It is not mercy. Something that you did, well, that's something that you can brag about. But if it's something he did, because the Bible goes on to say, with man it is impossible, but not with God. Aren't you glad this morning? God is able. That no matter who it is, he said, for with God all things are possible. And I'm glad, from the wrong side of the track to the right side of the track, from the front pew to the back pew, God can save anybody. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. Help us, Lord. May our thoughts and words be clear. May they be pleasing to you. And God, I pray, work in every heart and life in a way, Lord, that'll bring glory and honor to your name. Change us for time and eternity. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I know you're familiar with this story. And I want to just give you a few things and a thought that hit my heart a week or so ago. When we come to this text, you know it and I know it, is the text of the rich young ruler. And as he comes to the Lord Jesus here, sometimes when you read your Bible, I mean, for me, you can read things over and over again, and I'm thankful that the Bible is a living book. As you can come right back to the same passage that you maybe read yesterday, or you may can read it this morning and come back and read it tonight and say something brand new to your heart in that moment of your life. And I was reading here in Mark chapter number 10, and there was a statement that just jumped into my heart, and I'll give it to you in just a moment. But before we do, let's look at a couple of things concerning this rich young ruler this morning. I would say, first of all, in verse number 17, I notice his conclusion was an admirable one. His conclusion was an admirable one. The Bible said, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master. Somewhere, somehow, he had taken observation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard some things, he had saw some things, and when he came to the Lord, he didn't come with his chest stuck out. He didn't come in a self-serving manner, but he kneeled down before him, and here was his words, good master. The first thing out of his mouth was that Jesus is good. And I say to you this morning, he was good then, he is good now, he will be good tomorrow, he's good at night, he's good in the morning, he's good on Sunday, he's good on Monday, he's good on the first day of the year, he'll be good on the last day of the year. He was good the day I got saved, he's still good today, he'll be good when my last day is here on this earth. He is good. He's the good shepherd, he's a good God, he's a good Savior, he's a good Lord. And I thank God, this young man, out of his observation, the first thing he had to say about the Lord is that he is good. And honey, I'm telling you, we're living in a day where it seems like in our movement and in Christianity altogether, people seem to tag God with a lot of things other than being good. But if you've ever been saved, brought out of darkness into light, you've been passed from death into life, you cannot help but say that he is good. So we see his conclusion. Can I ask you something this morning? What is your conclusion of the Lord Jesus Christ in observing him and experiencing him? What could you stand up and say this morning? I know we look for a lot of things to say in our testimonies, but man, just to be able to stand up and know that you've experienced the goodness of an almighty God rushing into your life on a daily basis, and to be able to experience that and know that he is good. his conclusion was admirable. Number two, I want you to notice this. I want to labor this maybe for just a moment. But not only his conclusion, but I would see that his character was very attractive. His character was very attractive. The Bible said, Jesus, he asked this question to the Lord, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. And he mentioned these to him: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father. And he said, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now, before you say he didn't, just know this: Jesus didn't say he didn't. And I used to say, man, that guy's lying, because I know how wicked I am and how. But if you read these commandments, all these commandments that Jesus spoke to him about were things that he was to do concerning his fellow man, not toward God, but toward someone else. So it is very possible, being a young man, and it's very possible altogether, that this young man had really kept all these things. Jesus did not rebuke him. And by the way, Jesus knows this young man better than anybody knows him. And when he says this to the Lord, that he has kept these things, Jesus did not rebuke him. Jesus did not say, no, wait a minute, what about this day and what about this time and what about this person? No, he said, I've kept them all. So here's what I say to you: his character is very attractive. But I want you to know this about character. Character in itself, character alone, does not make a man a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you should have some character. I've met a lot of people that claim to be saved that have no character at all. They don't pay their bills. They defraud their neighbor. They're full of jealousy. They're full of envy. They're full of strife. I mean, they're always living for themselves. They never think about anybody else. I mean, they just have no character about them at all. You don't trust them, and you know you don't trust them. And I'm just saying to you, this young man, if he walked into church this morning, spent a service or two, you got some people whispering in the pastor's ear, preacher, I think we need to make this young man a deacon. We ought to put him at least on the board of trustees. I mean, man, he ought to have a place in the choir. Give him a Sunday school class. I mean, he lives clean. He does the right thing. He carries himself in a good way. He seems to be humble and all. I mean, he's got real good character. But character doesn't make you a Christian. You young people have been taught a lot about character. Do this, don't do that. Go here, don't go there. Keep your nose clean. Say yes, sir. Say yes, ma'am. And all those things are right. And it's not just young people. There may be somebody here, sitting here this morning. You have done all those things from your youth up. You grew up in a good home. You went to a good church. You sat in a good Sunday school class. And all of those things helped to build good character in your life. But honey, it takes a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to be a Christian. Your character means nothing when it comes to the Lamb's Book of Life if Jesus is not the centerpiece of that character. And so this young man, he was very attractive in his character. Number three, I want you to see that his calculation was abbreviated. He mentions to the Lord that he's kept these things from his youth up. And Jesus, in verse 21, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Amen. As this young man is calculating everything, matter of fact, he even asked the Lord in verse 17, what shall I do? I'm calculating all these things in my life, and it seems like I'm still empty. It seems like there's something missing. It seems like there is a void, but I've done these things. I've done. See, that's where a lot of people are in our churches. They've got a list. They've got a list of do's, and they've got a list of don'ts. And they think if they observe those things and keep those things, some of you, the only reason you're here today is because it's on your list of do. And some of you, the reason you won't do certain things is because it's on your list of don't that somebody has given to you that you have adapted through life. But I say to you that his calculation was abbreviated, because Jesus looked in his heart and he said, yes, you have, but there is one thing that you lack. One, not many, Just one. Just one. But I'm telling you, it is the most crucial one. It is the most crucial one. Are you empty? Is there a void still there? The choir don't satisfy it. Giving any offering don't satisfy it. Going to Jubilee, being in church all week long doesn't satisfy it. All the religious things that you have connected to your life, there still is a void. And you know when you're alone and you pillow your head at night, there is still something missing on the inside. One thing, but it's a great thing. The most important thing. But then I noticed lastly, when we look at this young man, the Bible said in verse number 22, and he was sad at that saying. Jesus, he said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and watch this, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Matthew uses the word sorrowful, grieved, and he went away grieved. I see that his catastrophe could have been avoided. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading to you this morning out of Mark 10 on a great catastrophe in life. See, this young man had an opportunity for his life to be changed. He had an opportunity for things to be different. He had an opportunity for peace. He had an opportunity to know the God of heaven. And the Bible said he went. What a great catastrophe. That in a man's life who has everything the world has to offer, he is going to die without God and go to an eternal damnation with everything the world has to offer in his hand and never have Jesus in his heart. What a great catastrophe. Judas Iscariot kissed the door to heaven and he died and went to hell without God. This young man is bowed at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in a humble manner, asking him, what shall I do? Jesus tells him what to do. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. Can I pause right here and just say this? You cannot read this Bible and be a Calvinist. He died for whosoever will. You say, who are the whosoever wills? Those that he died for. And he died for all the world so that all the world could be saved by the good grace of God. Only thing, listen, what makes a man a Calvinist is going to some college and listening to some professor try to explain his way through the Bible to God and take things out of context and put them someplace they're not supposed to be. You read other books, Brother Sammy said, it'll make you a Calvinist. But if you read your Bible, you'll understand, Jesus loves the world and Jesus loves you. And the Bible said Jesus loved him. But he went away sad. He went away sorrowful. What a great catastrophe. And I want to preach, I want to look at this part right here for just a second. I got three little things I want to mention to you. I'm done. I want to preach for a minute. Notice what the Bible said. In verse 21, Jesus said, the Bible said, beholding him, he loved him. Jesus told him, said, one thing thou lackest. But at the end of verse 21, he said, and come, take up the cross, follow me. You remember in Mark chapter number 1 when the leprous man was healed, Jesus told him, he said, I don't want you to tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what's happened. And there's reasons for that. But Jesus said, don't tell anybody. You know what the very next verse said? He blazed abroad the matter. I mean, he couldn't help it. Something that miraculous happened to him. Something that life-changing happened to him. He had to go tell it. And it worries me, these people that claim to be saved, claim to be going to heaven, claim God has changed their life. I've never heard them give a good, solid testimony. They want to talk about everything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to talk about everything but spiritual things. It worries me that they have nothing to tell. That man in Mark chapter number 1, Jesus healed him, and man, he went and blazed abroad the matter. But you remember the maniac of Gadara? Jesus steps out into that graveyard and he casts out all them demons out of this man's life. And the Bible said when the disciples returned, he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. But when Jesus got ready to leave, he wanted to go with him. And Jesus turned and looked at him, and he didn't say, "Don't go tell." He said, "No, I don't want you to go with me per se, but I want you to go home and tell all your friends what great things the Lord has done for you." You remember that? Well, do you remember the time when there was a fellow by the name of Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus passed by? And he looked over and said, "Come, follow me." Matthew just dropped everything he had going on and he got up and he followed the Lord. Do you remember there's four men, Peter and John and Andrew and James. They're all fishermen, and Jesus passes by and he says, "Follow me." I mean, it's not a great sermon necessarily, and it's not a great, but he just goes by and he says, "Follow me." You know what all they did? They were, some of them were on the boat, some of them were washing their, but they all dropped what they were doing in that moment and they followed him. Amen. They all followed him. The Bible said right here, Jesus gives this man an invitation in these three words that he gave to all these other men we know as disciples. He said, "And follow me." I'm preaching for just a moment on this thought. The missing disciple. The missing disciple. Now listen, I'm not trying to add anything to the Word of God. I'm not trying to come up with something new. I just want to give you some food for thought for just a minute. Do you remember that, of course, Judas Iscariot, he betrays the Lord and all that takes place and he's off the scene. And then you flip your Bible over to the book of Acts and they're having a business meeting. And in that business meeting, they're trying to figure out, we need to bring somebody else on. We're down to 11. We need to add somebody. So they sit down and have a business meeting, take a vote, and Matthias, they bring him on. Now he's one of the 12. I'm not debating whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent. That's not my point. But Brother Jones, just food for thought. I just wonder. Jesus didn't tell everybody, "Follow me." Now I know in point and I know in general terms, that's what we're all supposed to be doing, right? But specifically, he did not say to everybody he come in contact with and follow me. But he did to this young man. I just wonder, had this young man really, I mean, had he just said, "Man, I tell you what, this stuff ain't been doing me no good anyway. And if you can help me with what I'm missing, I tell you what, I'm giving it all away. And you do something with whatever you want, the poor, okay, I'll do." And he just went, and I wonder if they'd ever had to have that business meeting. I wonder if they'd ever had to have that replacement meeting if this young man would have just taken up the cross and followed him. I don't know, maybe he wouldn't have been a replacement, but wouldn't it have been something just to have been his disciple? Just to have been a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? But he's missing. There's three things I think he missed out on. Number one, first of all, he missed out on his true identity. He missed out on his true identity. You know what I want to say right here? Will the real you please stand up? Because I promise you, when you read this story, what is the first thing you think of? What is the title? What is the heading? The rich young ruler. That's all we know about him. We don't know his name. We don't know, we don't hardly know hardly anything about him, but we know him as the rich young ruler for the rest of his, for the rest of his days, for all of eternity. All we're going to know about this young man is he was the rich young ruler. That's it. Will the real you, that's not what God intended. I say to you that God has a plan for every one of our lives. Whether you're a preacher or you're not a preacher, man, woman, boy, or girl, listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, God has a plan for your life. And it's not your plan, and it's not my plan, but it is His plan. You notice He didn't go into a lot of detail to try to coerce this young man. He didn't try to, you know, reel him in with with all these things that he was going to do and how he was going to be. No. He just said, "I'm enough. Come follow me." And when He gets to be enough in your life, you won't care where He takes you, where the following goes. He's enough, and that's all that matters. Honey, I just say to you, this year will be 30 years ago when God changed my life, saved my soul. And I promise you, I submit to you, He is enough. He's been enough. He will continue to be enough. But you've got to let Him be enough for you. Some of you don't have your own story. You're always hanging on somebody else's testimony, somebody else's song, somebody else's word. But He's got to be enough for you. He's always going to be known as the rich young ruler. He'll always be known as the man who was earthly rich but heavenly poor. He'll always be known as the one who sought after Jesus and went away sorrowful. He will always be known as the man whom Christ loved, but He left alone. Are you listening? His true identity is missing. It's almost like he's living under an alias. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want you to know you've not even begun to live yet. Not the life that God has intended for you. I mentioned your preacher was... Your brother Gravely was with us this week, and we're from the same area, went to the same schools. I mean, just it's amazing how God allowed our paths to cross really before our paths crossed. And we got to talking about that, and we got talking about playing ball together and people we knew and all those things from the past. And we never could get on the same page of where we could remember one another when we were kids. But you know his story. What God has done in his life and how God saved him and how God changed him and all those things that he had in mind for his life quickly faded away when God called him to preach. And look at what God's done through his life. He'd have never dreamed it. But I'm telling you, friend, that's how all of our lives should be. Because listen, at 18, when I graduated high school, I would have laughed in your face. There would have been no way I'd have said I'd be in church today. I'd be saved by the grace of God. And absolutely no way that I'd be preaching His word. But I'm glad He looks beyond all the isms and schisms in our life. I'm glad He looks beyond all the sin. I'm glad He can look beyond all the stain. And He can see what He wants you and me to be inside the grace of God. Listen, inside the blood, inside the family. I'm glad that God has a plan for all of our lives. He's missed out on his true identity. Are you living an alias this morning? You're not really living the life God wants you to live, being who God wants you to be. He missed his true identity. Secondly, I want you to notice this. He not only missed his true identity, but he missed out on true intimacy. Amen. Now, I know how the world uses that word today, but Webster in his 1828 dictionary said that the word intimacy just simply means close familiarity, fellowship, nearness in friendship. Now watch this. The Bible said Jesus, beholding him, loved him. The Bible never said this young man loved him in return. And I want you to know something, that before you ever knew how to even love the Lord, He loved you.
And when our love runs short, and when our love is weak, and when our love is cold, His love never changes toward. I can't see how or why the Lord would choose to love somebody such as I, but I'm sure glad He does. And not only the day I got born again, but honey, I can look through my life, and I can't explain all this, but I can look through my life even before I say, I can see His hand in my life. I can see Him pulling me in His direction. I can see His expression of love being shown in my life when I didn't even know there was a God in heaven. He knew who I was and where I was. The Bible said, in beholding Him, He loved Him. You know, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Brother Brian, God loves the world, but in intimacy, in true friendship, in true fellowship, this young man never knew a thing about it. There was a day in my life I was loved by Him, but I didn't love Him in return. There was a day in my life, it was a one-sided thing. There was a day in my life where He had expressed His love toward me on Calvary when He died for my sin and shed His blood. But 30 years ago this year, I began to experience what it meant on a personal level. I'm talking about in the stillness of the night. I'm talking about in the deep, dark storm. I'm talking about in the good times and the bad times. God, to show me love on a... That's a different love than that "for God so loved the world" situation. I'm talking about intimate love, friendship love, close love, fellowship love. It's a different ball game. And this young man never got to experience that intimacy with Christ like Christ desired. Some of you know that God loved the world. And some of you know that God loves you. But there's some here this morning that have never experienced that love on an intimate level. Amen. I'm going to say this now. Some of you are probably going to think, you ever held hands with the Lord? You ever felt the Lord hug you and pull you up close to Him? He doesn't do that for sinners. He loves the world, but there's a different love. This is a different situation now between the believer and his Lord, the believer and his God, the believer and his Savior. The world doesn't know what I'm talking about this morning. And there was a day in my life I didn't know about it either. But how many times has He slipped His hand into mine? How many times has He put His arm around me and pulled me up close to Him? How many times has He said something so soft and tender into my heart that nobody else could hear but me and me alone? How many times has He sent a personal message, kind of like a love letter with your name signed to it? Hey, are you now? Listen, some of y'all got to understand me and anyway, dating, courting. I believe in doing it right, but. And you still ought to do it. Let me just, this ain't a message on the home, but even if you've been married a little while, what would help some of you is if you'd learn to write them love notes again. I got 5 amens right there. I'm preaching on the home. If you call on me again, if I preach tonight, I'm preaching on the home. If I preach, I'm preaching on the home all week. I got 5 amens. Start, ma'am, if you'd start spraying a little perfume and slipping a note in his lunchbox. And just, you know, let him know, just remind him that you love him and there's nobody else for you. And man, he is your world. Okay. We're in bad shape. I love Bible Baptist Church, but I it's worse shape than I thought. And sir, if you would show up at the front door with, you know, 2 dozen roses because it's been so long. Not a dozen ain't going to cut it. Right? Maybe if you slip out of the house before she gets up, just, you know, write her a love note. And you don't probably have to spray your cologne on it, but I mean, just write her a love note. She don't need to smell Old Spice, but just write her a love note, brute. Honey, when I look at you and then you just fill in the blanks, I don't know what you used to tell her, but you need to start telling her again. Brother Jones, my wife, she's not a coffee drinker. See, she's not. But my daughter and my daughter-in-laws are. But they don't drink coffee. They drink that foo-foo nonsense. You know what I'm talking about? What is it called? Chinos and Lotties. Lotties and Chinos. Sound like a gang or something. The Lotties and the Chinos. We're in trouble now. But anyway, they have put pressure on her to start drinking these drinks. So finally she gave in and she said, okay. And so she tried this. Let me see if I can get it. She always orders a venti. I never tell them venti. In America, it's called large. Venti. Son, I pull up into my redneck voice as much as I can get it redneck. Yeah! Give me one of them larges. Some double shaken, double shot, caramel express, cold foam, extra caramel drizzle on the top. It's all kind of mess. I have to look at a text message. I just go in and say, give me a coffee. Right? Pump something in it, but I got to look at an entire text message to put an order in. But here's what she said. She's gotten hooked on that. We had to stop yesterday on the way down here because she's hooked on them Lotties. And she spotted the Starbucks coming out of Walmart last night. She said, uh-huh. So I know all this week when she sneaks off and I can't find her, and some of you women will be with her. We know where you're going. But here's what she said. She's gotten hooked, Brother Laddie, and she told me, she said, I just thought one day, I thought, I'm gonna try to, you know, I'm going to be the husband of the year. I swung by Starbucks, ordered her one, took it home, brought it in, and she was just like, oh, here's what she said. This is better than roses. I said, yes! Woo! Now, them drinks are expensive, don't get me wrong. But when you compare one drink to 12 dozen roses, hey, I'm on the winning side. What was I talking about? This thing of intimacy. Just go get her a Starbucks. I know they're liberal, but half of everything, three-quarters of everything else we're getting in this day and time is too. Just go buy her a Starbucks so she'll be satisfied. And I'm telling you, she may start holding your hand. She may sit a little closer to you on the couch. You remember them trucks we used to have? You know, you like old trucks. They had bench seats in them. Now everybody's sitting this far apart. Back in the day, in bench seats, there was two drivers. You know, you deal with trucks. Pointing at me. Identity. You know, I think a lot of people, Brother Jones, including myself, are missing out on the intimacy that Christ wants. I'm done right here. He missed his true identity. He missed true intimacy. But he missed out on his eternal inheritance. All the money in the world could never compare to what God had to offer him. And he never tapped into it. If heaven's going to be better than what I'm experiencing down here, and it is, I can't wait to get there. He's supplied every need. He's answered every prayer. He's come through every time. He's done things beyond what I'd have ever imagined.
And if heaven's going to get better than that, I can't wait. He missed, listen, I want you to understand something. He missed out on every message. He missed out on every miracle. He missed out on every moment that Jesus had in store for him. And ultimately, he missed out on heaven. The missing disciple. Can I ask you a question this morning? What are you missing out on? He said, come follow me. For some, it's that cross business, because he did say, take up the cross. For some, it's the sacrifice of walking away. But for those who have ever put their shoes in his footprints and just started after him, oh, what a life. Oh, what a life. Don't find yourself missing. Lord, help us today. Help us. We're missing out on so much in my generation when it comes to Christ, Christianity, the things of God. I pray, Lord, you would help us to understand that you love us and you want to express that love, Lord, into our lives. Help us, I pray, to follow you and not just flippantly follow you, but to follow hard after you. Somehow in return to love you for the love that you have shown and expressed to us. Bless this invitation. Work in hearts and lives, Lord Jesus, in a way that only you possibly can. And we'll surely thank you in Jesus' name. We're standing all over the building. Christians are praying, heads are bowed, eyes are closed if you need to come. I know you've been to the altar this morning. But if you need to come, if God spoke to your heart, maybe through the first message or a song this morning or maybe even now, why don't you mind the Lord? Let God, don't be found missing. Missing. I don't know what all God had in store for him. And again, I'm not trying to plug him into something that God didn't have. But I just want you to know Jesus said, follow me. He meant it. We do believe it was a legitimate offer. I do. And he went away. How many times, Brother Jones, have you looked people in the face week after week and you know God was working, moving, dealing, and you just watched them walk away. Time after time, walk away. For whatever reason, there's no good reason. You mind the Lord.
I can hear